Hey guys, again, we're here on Chi-Town. Just on Anchor and Facebook, just to give you an FYI, we are doing a remote live on a final in a location called Chi-Town in Chicago, Star Mac and Troop. If you hear the music in the background, it's not ours. It's just because they're starting the fun. They're playing a final. So we don't own the rights to this music. I just want to let you know, okay?
We don't own rights to this music.
Not at all, okay? So I just want to give you that little disclosure because I don't want you guys shutting us down or not actually putting this podcast on because it's going to be great, okay? So I just want to let you know, all right? Just throwing it out there. If you hear the music, it's not ours and we don't own the rights. How's it going, Nelly Baby?
Good, good.
I did say that right.
Nelly Baby.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I did say it right. Okay.
Da, 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 Charlie's Bunker.
I was about to say, you forgot to do that.
With Nelly Baby.
Yeah. All right, so if you guys see me on... Okay, on Anchor, obviously, you're not going to see me. Duh. But if you... On the live, if you see me turning around, it's because I have a computer here, the mixer, and also the tablet. So I'm going to be switching back and forth. So I'm excited because it's the first live. It's the first live.
Our first live.
For Charlie's Bunker.
With a live audience.
With a live audience. Like, seriously, nobody cares. They're looking at us like, what the heck is going on?
What are they
here?
Doing? Two people with mics in their face.
Yeah, pretty much. That's exactly what's going on.
But with a Spanish caption.
Pero en español, yeah. So I started speaking in Spanish to the homies here. And she's like, you totally went Mexican on me. Of course, I'm in my home. Listen, here at Chi-Town, I'm going to give you a heads up. Here in Chi-Town, I started playing soccer here in 2006, all right?
Mm-hmm.
They have my picture here that I played here, okay? Here against Inter FC, we played one amazing game where we lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have my picture from 2013, from the year 2013, on the wall of fame and us getting the third place.
Oh, wow.
No, that's not a wow. They were supposed to take that off many years ago, but they still have it. They still have it because they know me. They know I played here, so now they're like...
You're el DJ.
Soy el DJ. I'm el DJ. Soy el mero, el pato, Charlie.
El pato Nova.
No, pato Nova. No,
oh,
no,
that's
no,
only
no,
for
no,
special
no.
occasions?
That's only, no, that's not even for special occasions. I'm going to get myself killed. That's not how it goes. Welcome one more time to Charlie's Bunker.
Okay. Charlie's Bunker.
All right. So topics.
What are the topics today?
I don't know. I made a live earlier on my way here saying that you were going to direct the show.
Really?
Today you're the boss. Today you're the boss. But I'm getting kind of thirsty. I really want something to drink.
It's thirsty. Saturday.
It's thirsty Saturday. Okay. I'm gonna do something here, okay? So you go ahead and do...
All right, so the topic... Because you threw a couple of topics at me, but then I was like, what? Do I not get an opinion out of this at all?
No, that was not it. What I did was that I had three topics for El Bunker de Charlie, which is the Spanish podcast.
Yes.
And then I have three for this one.
Okay.
So we're just doing the three in English.
Okay.
Okay? All right. So,
okay.
So you again, you're the boss. You're supposed to know what topics we're going to talk about today.
Well, I'm not the boss. I'm the co-host. But for today's topic, we're supposed to be talking about, as a man, how would you feel if a gal steals your girl?
I went because apparently that hurt the feels. Okay, so check it out, okay? many years ago, okay, some of my coworkers were having this discussion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this lady, you know, a friend of ours, a coworker of ours, there's no fire. It's just, again, background noise. But many years ago, they were having the conversation and said, listen, how would you feel, okay, if a girl took your girlfriend? I said, I mean, I don't know. I never thought about it that way. So anyway, I let the question go. You know, I didn't even answer the question. But it just came up to me this week. So I was just, you know, chilling, doing whatever I do. And the next thing you know, my brain goes, hey, remember this? And I go, yeah, man, I remember that. And they go, well, what do you think? So I said, listen, let's bring it on to the show. So what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what would your boyfriend do?
Yeah.
If someone, I'm not going to name names, cough, I pointed over there because the boss of Chi-Town is right over here.
Okay.
And she comes in and steals you from your boyfriend. How will that work out? How will that be?
She wouldn't steal me from my boyfriend because if we already had a situation.
Because I love him.
We already had a conversation prior for us starting the relationship.
She said, no, I don't love him.
It's just a hit it and quit it.
This is how it feels to be the... This is how it feels to chop your... What is it?
Both my chops.
There you go. It feels great. It feels great.
So, go like ahead. I was saying, I'm like, it would be different. Like, you're not stealing me if we already talked about it before beginning our relationship.
Okay. I usually, that's not the thing that I will go and say, listen, you know, if one day, you know, honey... You know, one day maybe a man will come by and steal me from you. That's not something I just go ahead and talk about.
Well, you got to understand, when you start a relationship, you're going to know the ins and outs of the person, of your significant other. You would notice if your partner has any other opposite sex feelings for, I guess, like the opposite sex. Like, is he or she bisexual? Is he or she gay? Or do they plan on having an open relationship?
Okay, so obviously one of them, I think that at this point, one of them will have to be gay or lesbian, right?
Or bisexual.
The other one doesn't have to be. So let's say in your case, you're not bisexual or lesbian or gay or whatever you want to call mm-hmm. yourself. And some very attractive woman comes mm-hmm. to you and starts sweet talking you. And, you know, maybe uh-huh. she does convince you. Like, I don't know. I'm just asking because somebody asked me.
Oh. Well, I've been in situations, and I told my boyfriend before that I've made out with women.
Hold that thought. Okay. Hold that thought. Whoa. Say it again?
Family members that follow the show, do not take this into content.
For my family members, please no.
I don't describe myself or say that I'm gay. I am not gay, but I do appreciate a beautiful body, a beautiful woman, and I love any he, she, it, her, they, whatever culture you are. If you are a beautiful being and a beautiful soul, I will more gladly welcome you. Not that way though. If you're a good kisser, hey, we could try it out.
Oh boy. Now that's funny. So that's what I'm saying. Okay, so Nelly Baby here is willing to try it out. And listen, I'm nobody to judge. I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it, okay? But hey, man.
But you're not attracted to men.
I am not attracted to men. 100% I'm not attracted to men. But okay.
I will agree if a woman is beautiful.
You say you will grieve?
I will agree.
Oh, okay.
I will let a woman know if she's beautiful.
Okay, but let's put this in perspective, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hold that thought. Give me one thing, guys. Aquí nada más echando relajo, haciendo nuestro show de radio aquí tranquilo. It was just one of our buddies here from Chinatown. He wanted to come and say hi to us. So, hey, man, you got to stop. You got to stop everything you're doing so you can say hi to them because, you know.
Gotta welcome the posse.
Yeah, and we work for beer. So,
yeah. So if you're here in Chi-Town, come and buy us a pitcher. We'll work for beer.
Instead of saying, you know, if you're here in Chi-Town, come by and we're going to hang around with you. Come on.
Oh, yeah, come over, man.
Come on, man. Buy us a beer, man.
Come on, man. We'll work for alcohol.
Work for alcohol. That's pretty much her slogan. She actually has a banner right here at the front that says, Charlie's Bunker. Follow us on these pages.
Tip us for a song.
Take us for a song. And we work for beer.
And bring us a beer and we'll play a song.
That's exactly what it says. Okay. So let's go back. Okay. Let's go back. Okay. So you have to be, I guess you have to be attracted to women or men, right?
Yes.
For that to happen.
Yes.
Okay. So what in your case, mm-hmm. what does a woman need to do for you to find them attractive?
Be pretty, beautiful, beautiful attitude. I don't know. It's just something about the aura of the woman.
Okay. So, in what sense the aura? I mean, I don't get it.
If she got a stinky, stanky attitude, it ain't cute. You're not. It's not gonna turn me on. Or
we want no stinky attitudes.
I don't want no stinky attitudes. You need
and
to
no
be,
scrubs.
You she need to be beautiful scrubs. Inside as well as outside.
And she doesn't want scrubs either.
No scrubs.
No scrubs. No scrubs. How does the song go?
No, we can't sing it though.
You can't. Oh, that's right. You can't sing it. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So everything you said, got it. Okay. So beautiful. So how do you explain that, though? I guess will women actually go also from the to the hit it and quit it? Is that, will they do that too?
Yeah. Where do you think cougars came from? But that's later on.
I don't know. I don't know where cougars came from. I mean, I just.
Well, the topic. What do you think cougars are made, like, basically defined as?
Well, the topic came from somebody else that also sent it to us, but that's not the point right now. That's later on. We're going to talk about that later on.
Mm-hmm.
But see, okay, so how do you describe a beautiful soul? Because that's one of the things that people talk about, like, oh, you know, beautiful soul, blah, blah, blah. And honestly, I'm like, you know.
Good humanitarian, does charity work. Not really. But does charity work? Has similar likes that I have, like art, books,
okay.
Reading.
And what kind of books do you like?
Anything. Mostly XXX literature.
I'm sorry. This is, I don't know how many times I have told her that this is a family-friendly show. And she goes,
okay,
XXX.
Okay. Urban.
Urban. Okay, now we're going to go with urban
authors.
Right, okay.
You said keep it lively and keep you on your feet.
Yeah, no, I did say that. Okay, so you said good books, mm-hmm. Beautiful soul, or whatever. Don't do charity work.
Yeah, do charity work, man. What? But I'm going to be in the sideline drinking a beer, though.
You got to be on the side and drinking a beer while your beautiful woman, who happens to steal you from your boyfriend, which we agree that she doesn't love, because she didn't say she did. She just said, by the way, and she just changed the topic completely. Just waits around and, you know, steal you. She needs to come and steal you. She needs to woo you.
She needs to woo me, man. I ain't going to hit it and quit it. You got to take me out to eat. Give me some alcohol.
So they need to get you drunk.
Yeah, loosey-goosey.
Lucy, okay, see.
Mm-hmm. No offense to the Lucys.
Okay, so if your name is Lucy and you're listening to us, please, I'm sorry.
Hashtag follow.
Yeah.
Charlie's Bunker. And I haven't even got drunk yet.
She has not even had a beer yet. Okay, so, but would you really leave your boyfriend? Obviously, what's the name of that? It's not an actual question. It's not a real question. I know you're not going to leave your boyfriend, you know, whatever.
No.
But what will it take for you to leave him with another girl?
But what does it have to be the leaving? It's just like, you don't know.
Are you going to be unfaithful to your boyfriend with another girl?
No, because if we talked about it in the beginning of our relationship, he understands. And we talked about it too. He knows that if I make out with a girl, it's not cheating.
Okay, so in other terms, that would be cheating though.
But it's not your boyfriend. You're not entering, you know, the opposite sex. And, you know, you want me to keep this PG, but I can't.
No, okay, fine. Okay, kids, if you're listening to the show, I need you to
cut
off.
Exit out of the program now.
Exit the program because we're going to get a little raw now, okay? Okay. Going back to the question, uh-huh. Okay? Explain what you just said right now.
So, I'm not really cheating because we're making out. Like, if it's a woman to woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's not cheating because we're only swapping spit.
Okay, so would you consider the same thing with a man? Like, if you're making out with a man, will that be cheating?
No, because you said if a woman wooed me.
Yeah, I know, but if it's a man, will that still be the
case?
Well,
yeah, it'll be cheating because that was not on part of our contract.
Wait, hold that thought. Hold it. Why does it change?
Because we put it on the table in the beginning of our relationship. And then if I do make out with a woman, I tell him.
I don't know what to say. I don't know. I mean, I guess that I wouldn't think that my wife will be kissing another woman, first of all. I don't know. I mean, I hope not. And two,
I'll keep that to myself.
Okay, fine.
You got to be spontaneous.
Okay, but if she ever does it, I don't know how it would feel. I mean, it's something new.
But yet she's going home to your bed.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. That's still, I guess.
And the good thing is that she'll relieve the sexual tension with you.
No, that doesn't guarantee that.
You never know.
I would never know, but that doesn't mean it guarantees that. I mean, I guess that for people, some people like men, obviously, well, yeah, men, obviously men, that would be considered cheating. I can see why it would be considered cheating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wouldn't. It's the same thing if you're kissing a guy.
But I'm not kissing a guy.
But see, you just said it right now that I hit it and quit it. It's not what you're looking for. You will probably look, and again, this is hypothetically speaking,
mm-hmm.
You will look for somebody who, you know, wants to woo you. But would you literally... Not a fire. But would you literally just go ahead and kiss another girl just like that, out of the blue?
If I'm attracted to her, yes.
And he's okay with this?
Yeah.
Wow. He's a cool guy because I don't know what I would do.
Because he knows I'm not going to cheat on him with a man.
So the man is the cut-off line.
Yeah.
So would you let... Okay, that sounds weird, but would you let him kiss another man?
He's not going to do that.
Oh, okay. So you play this to your advantage.
He's not attracted to the opposite sex.
No, that's fine, but that's not my question. My question is that when you plan this whole contract that you're talking about, you went Sheldon on him.
Yes, I made a contract, and we talked about it, and he said, okay.
Wow. I.
But that's the thing that I'm saying. I'm like, fellas, if you talk about it in the beginning of your relationship and it's okay with you, yet as long as your woman comes home to you, then that's all that really matters. It's like...
I don't know.
If she agrees to the topic of maybe having an open relationship, that's up to you. I don't really do the open relationship. I'm not really going to have a woman in my relationship.
But wouldn't that be an open relationship at this point?
No, because I'm at the moment not going to have a relationship with this woman. We just made out. That's it.
No, but you're interacting chemically and, you know, physically. So yeah, that would be cheating, man.
Not if you talked about it.
Not if you put it in the contract?
Put it in the contract in the beginning of the relationship and you said, hey, guess what? Once in a great blue moon, hey, it's my birthday and I decide to get wasted. Is it okay if I make out with my best friend? Who happens to be a woman?
That will throw me off completely, to be honest with you. I don't know. That will totally throw me off. I don't know. I guess I'll say yes. Thinking that it's not going to happen. The next thing you know, there's a bunch of pictures like The Hangover. You're like, what happened here? Oh, I told you and you said yes. And I'll be like, oh, I guess.
But it was just a makeout. It's not, you know, anything under the belt.
But what if
it
goes beyond that, though?
It's never happened with me.
Okay, fine. But yeah, I mean, but it could happen where, you know, she falls in love with her. And then, you know, I mean, you're losing your partner. That's a big risk. I wouldn't take it. Now they're going to be like, oh, you close-minded. No. Listen. I work so hard for me to be in my relationship. I'm not going to lose it to just anyone, right? So I don't know, man. I don't know. Okay, I guess that's it for that topic.
I don't know. So what do you guys think? Let us know. Like, drop us some hints down below. Contact and talk to us. We're on live. Send us some messages on there. Let us know what you think about this topic.
Okay, so I'm going to close it right now for Anchor. And in the meantime... Okay,
uh-huh.
As I close and the downloads and everything,
mm-hmm.
Tell them where they can hear us. And hold on, in three. And we're back. All right, so we're having fun here at Chi-Town. The finals are about to start. I'm supposed to be announcing them, but I'm not going to because I'm here with you guys, dedicated to you guys here on Anchor. And just to remind you that we're an actual a remote. We're doing a live here in a nice event here in Chi-Town. So the music in the background, it's not ours. We don't own the rights. So
we please do not own rights.
Do not cancel the podcast because you want to have fun. Should we leave? Okay, second segment. I'm just going to throw it out there because here she is. It's the boss here today. She's not guiding it. She's on her phone.
Oh, no. I was trying to page the owner.
No. Oh, never mind. Yeah, so she's busy. Anyways. Mr. Kimo, how's it going? All right, we have the actual... This is the main man right here. No. He said a little bit. No. This is the main... We need a bucket. Yeah. What do we want?
A mix.
A mixed one. Coronas and Modelo Black. And this is not commercial for the show. We don't have the rights to Corona or Modelo Black, but we just ordered a bucket. Anyways, so This is a topic that it actually called my attention. Okay.
Well, this one you need to like totally take over with because I couldn't read the whole article.
I will take over. I will take over because this is my segment. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is my segment, and the reason why it's my segment is because I love psychology. All right. I love studying it. I love actually thinking about the fact that everything that we do is just pretty much programmed into your mind, into your head, into your brain. Now, I did say programmed because I do feel that we're like a computer. Whatever you put in there, you're going to think about it and you're going to react to it, okay? That's just pretty much. If you want to know more, go to the Spanish segment and listen to Think and Grow Rich. It's pretty much like 4 episodes right there about the whole detail. Mm-hmm. But false memories, okay? Uh-huh. False memories are pretty much what your brain has decided to believe that it's true, okay? Now, I found that interesting because for many years, I was the victim of false memories, okay?
How?
Okay, so how? It's a very good question. Many years ago, when I was going through this transformation phase of mentally, I was going to a therapist, and I will tell her that my first memory was of my parents arguing, right? And I always believed that. And I gave descriptions of how my parents would argue this first argument. Mm-hmm. And it was totally believable. I will give them exact locations and little details of the argument. But then I started thinking more. And then I remember that one time we were actually moving, okay, from one house to another.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a litter of kittens, right? So I remember that we were playing with the kittens and one of my uncles and my sister and me, we were trying to get all the kittens. So long story short, it took us 3 hours because we were playing with them. Like we will capture one and then another one will leave and then we'll go look for that one and then it will leave and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started thinking, I said, wait a minute. The first argument that my parents had, in quotes,
uh-huh,
were in the new house that we moved into. Right?
Uh-huh.
And then the memory with the cats was when we were leaving that house that, you know, that we used to live. So then I started asking myself, why is it possible that the first memory that I had was my parents arguing, and the second memory was with the cats that we were playing when we left the apartment before we moved into the new one? Okay, so I know it got a little confusing, right?
Yeah.
So in the order of appearance in my head, the argument memory was the first one, and the one playing with the cats was the second, right?
Okay.
So eventually, chronologically, the argument happened first, and then the cats happened second, right?
Oh, wow.
Right? Okay. No, okay, that's in my head.
Okay.
Right? In reality, what happened was the first memory was the one with the cats, and the second one was with my parents arguing.
Oh, wow. But why is that?
And that's the whole point of this conversation. It's the false memories.
Mm.
So my brain was telling me, because it was the argument with my parents was a very, very traumatic point for me. And it just, from that point on, it just made me decide things from in my personal life that were directed to that. Okay. Mm. So that was a very strong impact in my life. Right.
Okay.
So in my head, I was telling myself, that's the first memory. That's the first memory. That's the first memory. So eventually I believed it. Okay. And that became my false memory. Because in reality, what happened was that the memory with the cats were actually first. If I would have believed that the memory of the cats, which is the happy one, was the first one, then I would have made other decisions in my life. I know it sounds crazy, and I know it sounds a little complex, but that's the reason why this conversation is very interesting. Because think about this. How many people had their lives been affected by false memories?
So what is the definition of a false memory, though?
The definition of a false memory, it's when you believe a memory, it's distorted by information that you're trying to fill the gaps of that memory. So the actual event happened.
Mm-hmm.
That did happen, okay? But because of X, Y, and Z or any other reason, the brain does not have all the memory complete.
Mm-hmm.
And there are gaps in that memory that need to be filled, okay?
Mm-hmm. Kind of like post-traumatic stress disorder?
No, that's different. Because in my perspective, the way I see it is the post-traumatic stress disorder, it's based on events with memories that happen to you, and they're so vivid that you really feel like you're there, okay, eventually. Again, the best example that anybody can give you, it's veterans from Vietnam. You know, they hear a loud pop, and then they think they're back in a battle, so they go on the floor, they start acting like they're in the battle again. That's PTSD, okay?
Yes.
But a false memory, it's, for example, you see something. You see that something happened, right?
Uh-huh.
Let's say somebody trips right now, pow, and you start laughing, right? So when you go and tell anyone
mm-hmm.
that somebody fell, your brain, it's not going to completely get all the story straight, and the pieces of information that you're missing from that story, you're going to fill them up with something else.
So you kind of remember like the negative aspects of
No, because I mean that was funny. The example of the fall, it's funny. It's a funny memory. But when you go and tell it to somebody else, you're not going to remember everything that happened, every little detail. And the brain is programmed to tell you exactly what's going on. So therefore, the cognitive part, the front part of your brain,
mm-hmm.
it's going to miss a lot of information. So what you're going to do subconsciously is you're going to start filling those little gaps.
Oh.
So you're going to start changing things. Like, for example, if the person tripped with a soccer ball, your brain might tell you, oh, no, somebody tripped him, right? So he fell. Or if he had a blue jacket, you're going to think that he had a red shirt. So mm-hmm. things like that, it's what actually provokes or causes a false memory. Now, here's the thing. We're talking about falls and, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder and symptoms and my cats and my parents arguing. But what happens when those memories are actually applied in a real dangerous situation or real-life world, like somebody testifying against the rape? Or a murderer, or something else.
That usually does happen.
Yeah, and that's the reason why this conversation is important. Because, I mean, I didn't think about false memories until I started going to therapy. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking that this topic about false memories, it's not a really well-known one.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting conversation, because how many times, and I'm asking the people here in life, because I see somebody there, what's up? Whoever's joining us, how's it going? What's up? Welcome. Thank you for having us.
Don't forget to share.
But I'm going to ask the question to the audience and you.
Mm-hmm.
How many times in your life have you made a decision based on a memory that you're doubtful or you know it's not true? Like, how many times your life has been guided from a memory of something traumatic and you actually based every decision in your life mm-hmm. based on that event? Now, you in particular, you keep saying you're losing your memory.
Yeah.
How many times have you actually thought about something that happened to you and you based your decisions based on that memory, but it's not true? How does that affect you in your life? Now I'm going to open that question to you.
I don't know.
Well, think about it. Because everything in life, and this is what I learned in my journey of transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in life that we do, it's an interpretation. It's not an actual fact.
Mm-hmm.
So everything you're seeing, everything you're going through, everything you went through is just something that your brain made up, and it's an interpretation of what you did, what you said, what you did, or what happened.
Okay.
So you based all your actions on that interpretation of what happened. Like, for example, if I want to say, let's say, you know, my father was abusive because he was an alcoholic, right?
Okay.
And then I say to myself. My father was an alcoholic, so I'm not going to become an alcoholic, right? And I based my life kind of resenting my father because he was an alcoholic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in my head, I'm doing this, right? My father's an alcoholic, I'm not going to be like my father. And you pretty much guide yourself on that belief that your father was an alcoholic. And then one day out of the blue, right, you decide to talk to your father and say, listen, you know, I have something inside of me, something that's been burning me from my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you... became an alcoholic? And then he will say to you, I wasn't an alcoholic.
Oh, I've been there.
Okay, so he says, I wasn't an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And you say, yes, because I remember that you were drinking and you drank this many times. And then he'll say, because I had a couple of beers.
But then that a couple of beers that go on for like years.
Yeah, but again, your memory, you're telling yourself that he was an alcoholic.
Yes.
He's saying that he did it.
Then he would be having false memories?
No, you're having the false memory because literally, if in reality, what happens is that you saw him drinking, so therefore you connected to alcoholism.
Okay.
Now, that's not the issue here. The issue here is that you resented your father, or I resented my father in this scenario for many years when I actually because of resenting him, I didn't actually spend time with my father. So wow. I killed time there because I thought that he was an alcoholic because of the false memory. Mm-hmm. And now you wasted all that time you're never going to bring back because of a false memory. So my point again is, how many times in your life you think you have a memory that is really hurting you and bringing you down and killing you, when in reality it's just a false memory? How do you handle that? How do you distinguish that?
Like, is there any form of, like, therapy for that?
There is. That's why I was saying it. Because I had to go through therapy to get rid of all of those. Because I had so many. The cat and my father arguing with my mother, that was actually two mm-hmm. of my very first memories. That's why I put the first and second. But I guided my life because I thought that my parents would argue all the time. But in reality, that was not the case.
Oh, wow.
So I made in my head a scenario of how my parents used to argue so much, but in reality they were not. And I disliked my parents. I thought they were fighting. And then I one day I sat down with them and I said, listen, why did this happen? Why is it that this happened? And they're like, every couple fights, that is normal.
It's normal.
Why do you take it so much to heart? And that's when it killed me. Why did I spend so many years based in on a false memory, and I work with it through my therapist,
uh-huh.
why did you waste it so much time? Now, again, I see it every day in other people, that they something happens in their daily lives, mm-hmm. they say at work or Crystal. Okay.
Hey, Crystal.
What's up, Crystal? Thank you for joining us. We're going to read your comment before I go into mine. It says, false memories or experience assumptions, it kind of sounds like one of the same, perhaps. Yes, I will say that could be the case, because an assumption is something that you're thinking and you're interpreting in your head, when in reality something different is happening. And I was going to get to that point. For example, okay, I see so many people out there in my daily life, when something happens, okay,
mm-hmm.
and then they get into a little argument, okay, and then I hear both sides of the story, right? And then the person A tells me, no, listen, he or she's doing this, and because of the way she is or her or he is, and I can't hit around with them. And then I go to the other side of the coin, and they're like, no, listen, this is what happened. And they tell me their side of the story. So pretty much you have two sides of one story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't actually see both sides. They only see their side and what they're interpreting in their head. That becomes a false memory. Mm. And you can testify to this, because you've gone through a lot of those.
I guess.
Okay, fine. She guessed. Maybe she did. I don't know. But I can totally see it myself. Before, I used to get into so many arguments
uh-huh.
with people, because I will, something will happen to me and I will think about it. And the next thing you know, in my head, it was true.
Because I've had moments where, like, I got in a car accident, but that's what I remember, but I don't remember all of it.
And that's one of the things, one psychologist that she was actually studying memories, but she wasn't studying memories of how they were created, but what effect does it have on society? That's what mm-hmm. she was studying. And one of the things that said is that they were actually putting these people through experiments where they will traumatize them, okay, for a little uh-huh. bit, okay? And one of the videos they showed them is actually people that were in car accidents, mm-hmm. right? And when they asked these people, what did they see? Pretty much they describe the same accident, but with different small details. Like someone said that there was glass shattering all over the place, when in reality the glass didn't even shatter.
I just saw a concrete wall.
Okay. All right. Well, you want to tell us?
Because
that was a little random. You're like, I just saw concrete. I was like, where?
No, I mean, like, if I was in a car accident. Well, actually, I was learning how to drive, and I guess it just caused me to have a fear of driving because I was in a car accident, because I was trying to learn how to drive, and I hit a concrete wall.
See, that's a perfect scenario of a false memory. It traumatized you so much for you not to drive again.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure that the accident wasn't as bad.
Maybe, yes.
Okay, well, no, tell us. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there. That's exactly what I'm trying to make.
So it to me, it was because it just made me fear touching pedals, or the gas pedal or the brake pedal, and because I caused an accident. So I didn't want to.
Did somebody
again.
Die?
No.
Did somebody get hurt?
No.
Did somebody get to the hospital?
No.
So why was it so bad?
Because I got scared.
You see that, and that's one of the things that the psychologist says, that people will make this interpretation in their head and all this things in their mind, and then the next thing you know, you're so petrified of doing that because in your head, your brain is trying to protect you.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it is. It's your brain trying to protect you, and then you're giving wrong information to yourself, and that's pretty much how it goes down. But when it comes to something severe like in prisoners or somebody who's convicted of a crime, before DNA, somebody will take their testimony and definitely say, yeah, this guy was actually my rapist, and they will put him in jail for so many years. Now, this particular case that I was looking at, this guy had a great life, nice family and whatnot, and then he was accused of rape, and then he went to jail for 3 months. And then the reporter who took over this case, then he actually found the real rapist, and this guy got out of jail, right, obviously. But you spend 3 months in jail, that's a lot of time. All right. So when he came out, he was so angry at the world. He was angry at the system. He was angry at the government. He was angry at the cops. And he lost his house. He lost his wife. He lost his kids. He lost his job. He lost his money. Pretty much everything. Why? Because somebody swore that he was the one that raped him, and he wasn't. So that's how dangerous.
That's crazy.
This whole idea of false memories is.
That is freaking crazy.
Okay, we have another comment from Crystal. I'm gonna read it right now. How about when you dream of something that you swear happened, but it never did? Like, for example, I swore when I was a kid that something happened to my mom. Always told me that it never did. Will that be a false memory? Yes, that will definitely be a false memory. Because, again, if it caused an emotion, obviously I'm not a psychologist, so I'm just giving you my point of view. But if it caused a really hard emotion where it's stopping you or it's affecting you in some sort of way, but you're not sure what happened, and somebody's telling you, hey, that's not how it went, then that's a false memory. Because there's somebody who's testifying that what happened, it wasn't what happened.
Wow.
It's just you. And again, I can give you so many examples in my life of how false memories, directed my life in some sort of way, of shape, or form, and how I changed my mannerisms and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was so bad that I had to go to therapy. I mean, that pretty much explains.
Therapy shouldn't be labeled as bad.
No, but that's not what I'm saying. Therapy is good.
Or your issue.
Yeah.
Your trauma. It wouldn't be trauma, right?
No, it's not a trauma because it's something that I'm telling myself. It's a false memory. It's something that I'm telling myself that happened when it really didn't. And everybody's telling me, no, dude, that's not how it went down.
Oh,
that's not how it went down.
Okay.
No, but it did. And I remember it. And I get emotional and I will get aggressive and nobody understands me, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, once I went to therapy and said, listen, let's dissect this. And then that's one of the questions that the therapist asked me. She goes, how are you sure that this really happened? I wasn't sure.
I know. I'd be frozen too if they asked me that question. I don't know.
And then I'll be honest.
So many years of this memory, and then I'm like to not know if it was real or not.
Yeah. And what if you find somebody that said, no, actually the accident wasn't as bad as you think? Will that make you play? Well, I'm sorry. Play, not play. Will that make you drive? Will that actually motivate you to drive?
Well, one of them passed away. So.
Okay, now that's traumatic.
Later on in life.
Oh, okay.
Not during the accident.
Not in the accident.
No.
This just got
and
dark.
And the other person I don't really talk to anymore.
Okay, but let's say, for example, if they say it wasn't as bad as you think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Will that push you to drive?
Maybe. But I guess I just need to get on in back of the wheel, or how do you call it? How do you say it?
Behind the wheel?
There you go. Behind the wheel, so that way I could get comfortable again with it. But
I mean, yeah, because that's one of the, in psychology, that's actually one of the things that Skinner.
Uh-huh.
Skinner is the one that actually was doing that. And Watson, they were actually very, very classical conditioning. That's one of the things that they actually push for,
mm-hmm.
besides Freud's theory of psychotherapy. But that's what I like. If you expose yourself to something you're afraid of, then eventually you will be unafraid of that. Okay, but that's a very good way to get rid of the false memory. But I think it's kind of deviating from the topic, because a false memory could be anything. It could be anything that you're thinking, that is going on, and it makes you react to that. I mean, you've had arguments with people where you swear they're in that position, and I tell you, no, that's not how it's going down. You're like, no, but they are that. Okay, fine, no, but that's not what's going down. and you're so stuck to your ways, and you say, I'm stubborn. But she is stubborn. She's very stubborn. Mm-hmm. But, and I'm throwing her under the bus now. But
when don't you?
Always. But if you think about it, do you really think that actually happened how you think it happened? And that's why this conversation, it's hard. Because it makes you question everything you think about.
Now I'm going to have to write down every thought, every memory. I know, I need to free my mind.
Like the Matrix, free your mind. Yeah, it's crazy. I'm telling you guys, by experience, when I was going through this, it was insane because they got to a point where I didn't even know what was real. To be honest,
I know. It's like opening a portal.
It's crazy.
That you don't even know it even existed.
It's crazy.
Like, all those memories and all those thoughts that you had, like literally like underneath layers of conscience.
Yeah.
That you never knew existed. Oh my God. This is where people have like panic attacks, anxiety, and thinking about it, I'm like.
I would have. Straight up panic attacks because I honestly believe
a mental breakdown.
Whatever I was thinking, it was not true, and that if my wife did something, was it my interpretation of it or was it really happening? And it was crazy because I froze because I couldn't make a decision on what to do based on what I thought because I knew that it was just my brain making the whole thing up.
Wow,
it's intense. So that's one of the reasons why I want to touch this. And guys, obviously, again, we're just giving our point of view on this. But if you have the chance, go and look for exactly what is a false memory and how it affects people under everyday life. Because I'm telling you by experience, it really does mess you up.
Yeah, I tried to read all the article, but I couldn't read it. So I'm gonna go check out and look to see more information on it. Because wow, like I want to see more like in depth. Like if I'm actually like. Because all these memories, false memories you're telling me I have, I don't recall. Or I haven't labeled them as false memories.
Yeah. I can give you a perfect good example, but I'm not going to burn.
Yeah, don't blast me.
No, I'm not going to blast anybody.
I have no alcohol yet.
But I remember. No, I'm just kidding. No,
I'm like, he wants to get stabbed.
I'm going
to
get stabbed. See, that's her interpretation of things. I'm just saying some simple things. She's making the whole thing up. Anyways. All right, guys. We're going to close this segment right here. But you know what? No, hold on. Let me tell you the way I actually deal with that because I just don't want to leave you hanging with this illusion.
You know who would have been a good person, and I was thinking about
Sylvia.
It too?
Yeah. Let me tell you how I deal with it. Okay, Sylvia, when we did a segment of depression, she made a really good point. Okay, and she said become the observer. Okay, so what I did in that context is that when I was having a doubt of whether my memory was playing a trick on me or not.
Mm-hmm.
I took a step back, okay, eventually, mentally, in my brain, and I will see the two points, the two sides of the coin, right? And I will literally pretty much hear the entire conversation in my head of how I will actually instigate myself to go against this person to react in a way that it was negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the first question that I asked myself was, is this me that's making this whole thing up, or if it's not? And if it's me, how can I prove it? How do I know? That was the first question. How do I know? If I said to myself, I don't know, then I will consider it a false memory and not go beyond it.
So what were you doing with that? Were you journaling or taking notes and stuff?
Yes.
Because I wouldn't know what to do. I would have to actually write down whatever thoughts or the day activities has started so that way I could go back and just read it.
Yes. I started with journals, okay? I started with writing things down, and then eventually I got good at it where I can just have the conversation in my head and say, listen, is there actually proof that this happened? And then if I say to myself yes, then I will go to the person who was there in that scenario and I ask them questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, okay, so we went through this. How did you see it happen? But I want you to be honest. And I've done that to you several times.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, listen, tell me what you saw and be honest. And then if they correlate with what I'm thinking, then definitely it's a true memory. And then I can work from there. But if the version of the story that she's telling me or he's telling me, it's different from what I thought, then I categorize it as a false memory. And then I go and take another route. So it became kind of a, what's it called? Jesus, where you follow the little yes and no questions?
Questionnaire?
No, it's the mathematical term for it.
If it's math, I don't know.
I forgot. But yeah, that's pretty much how I started working on it. And obviously with the help of a therapist, I started working through this little guidelines and defense of how to deal with these false memories. So now, whenever I'm in a situation where it's something that's going to affect somebody, I automatically start recording my brain, and then I just have to put it in writing right away. And then once I throw it in there, or I expose it to somebody, and they give their side of the version of the story, and then it correlates, then I can just go ahead and fix it from there. I don't do that anymore. I don't do that anymore, the false memories, where I can just say, what is it? Quiz? I don't know what you mean by quiz, to be honest
with
you.
The questionnaire.
Oh, yeah.
Yes or no or whatever.
No, this is the reason why I'm telling you this, because recently I got in trouble because in my job, as you know, I do interpreting, so therefore I have to be present in every conversation because that's legally what I have to do, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A doctor didn't follow the guidelines, and then he got upset when I refused to, or I didn't want to help him with the consent, and then he made a report, an official report, to my boss, and he could have gone to HR, and I could have gotten into a big problem. So that could affect my career and also my job. So in when it comes to the false memory in the aspect, I wanted to make sure that everything that was said and happened really happened. So I wrote it down right away. I made a report,
mm-hmm.
and then I threw it out there. And then when he spoke to my boss, then, you know, it correlated pretty much. And then thankfully, I didn't get in trouble. But what if I didn't? What if I would have waited until hours later to make the email and missed a lot of information or added a lot of information that didn't happen? Did that look bad on me?
Yeah.
Right?
You kind of beat them to the punch.
Exactly. Not necessarily.
Not to the punch,
wanted to, everything that was fresh and it happened, just put it out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you wait, the more your brain is starting to throw in details that didn't go through. And then when the other person gives their side of the story, it's not going to correlate.
Yeah.
So in this sense, I was going to lose. So that's what I wanted to avoid. So again, that's why in my brain, I'm already programmed. That's why I say programmed to do all of this before I do anything else.
That's good.
And I do that with everything. Yes. But how many people know that? How many people actually know how to work through those?
And I would have to, like, really start practicing and start doing some of that. Because, like I said before, I'm losing, like, my memory. And sometimes I forget what, like, the day before, what I did. And I got to recall, like, oh, shoot, I got to start taking notes or something or start journaling again. Or reading more.
Yep. Okay, that's... I didn't say yes to the reading. I mean, you should read more.
I'm
not saying that.
I should.
I just shoot myself in the foot. Something I shouldn't do. All right, guys, we're going to close this for now. On the anchor, we're going to continue the live. So, again, you're going to tell us where they can hear us. And I'm still waiting for my bucket. Okay. And hold on. In 3, 2... We are back on anchor. Okay. And we are actually here live in Chi-Town. But since we have 2 people here, I want you guys to send us your songs, okay? Because we haven't added the songs to the segment on Anchor. We're totally going to do that. I forgot.
What'd you forget?
I forgot. Tomorrow, it's Mother's Day.
Yes.
So to the mamacitas, to las mamacitas who are out there.
I'm a mamacita.
Tomorrow, happy Mother's Day.
Thanks.
From Charlie's Bunker and Nelly Baby. Okay, I hope you guys have a great day tomorrow. Thank you for everything you do for everyone, because it's not only for the kids. I learned it the hard way. False memories. I learned it the hard way, okay? You guys help with the husbands, with the kids, with the school, especially this whole year. It was crazy with the whole year. You guys went above and beyond.
With the virtual learning.
Oh, yeah. Listen, we men couldn't do all of that stuff that you do. We wouldn't. I wouldn't be able to.
That's why it's called mother instincts.
I guess. I don't have them, so...
Because you're a male.
We were having the conversation earlier, and my wife said, why can't you cook? And I said, why should I cook? They're already old enough. They should cook for themselves. They should cook for me. And that's the kind of tender love that she has for them. And I'm like, whatever. If they don't starve to that, I'm happy. Just do the basics.
As long as they're breathing.
C grade average, baby. C grade average. So happy Mother's Day tomorrow for everybody out there. Okay.
Yay.
This topic was sent to us in particular from Nelly's baby's friend. And I'm going to let you handle this one.
Well, we got...
I don't know any of this stuff.
Well, we got stood up. So we're not going to have a one-on-one questionnaire and talk from one of our viewers and one of my friends, Melissa. Why am I saying viewers? She's probably not even viewing. She's watching. What the Canelo fight? What fight's going on right now?
You see what I'm saying? False memory. She's already creating something in her head. she's already creating the fact that she went to the fight, to the Canelo fight.
No, I'm saying...
When in reality, she probably did something else, and
no,
she just couldn't hear.
No, she's watching it. She's broadcasting it at home. She kind of invited us, too, so...
What are we doing here? Okay, guys, this is it for today. We're done. I'm out.
So she said, let's talk about cougars. What is a cougar?
I don't know. This is actually,
what do you think?
This is actually your teaching moment for me because I have no idea.
What do you think a cougar is in the female aspect?
In the female aspect, it's somebody who runs really fast.
That's sports.
I guess. I mean.
Well, cougar, if it comes into any like form of, it's referring to a woman. So the definition that I found online was terms used to describe an older woman who uses the same, I don't know what, how I feel about this word, predatory, and a member of the opposite sex.
I mean, cougars are predators, so I believe that would be.
That is younger than her?
I mean, yeah, that would be the case.
Around the
right?
ages, so a 40 plus woman is considered a cougar.
I mean, that would be the case, right? Because they're looking, they're hunting for younger men, right?
Yeah. And then a puma is, and I thought it was a joke.
Before we get into the puma, explain to me, what are the ages of a cougar? Because, I mean...
Cougar is 40 plus, 50, 60 and up.
There you go. Crystal said, an older hoochie mama who likes young guys.
Yes.
Okay.
In ghetto Ebonic terms, yes.
Okay. All right. I mean, Okay. So, what are the ages?
So, it would be 40 plus, 50, 60. Like, 60 would be mega cougar.
Mega cougar. Speaking of like a Transformers. Mega cougar. Let's roll.
Transformers.
Jesus, I got issues. Swear to God.
And I didn't know there was like different references. I Googled it and I was like, what?
Okay, what I've noticed is that they take pride of that. They're actually very proud of that. I mean, there's actually a show named Cougars.
Yeah, with what's her name? Courtney Cox?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's old, isn't it?
All right, guys, we're going to take a little break because we want a bucket, okay? Corona and Modelo, black. Yeah, thank you. All right. Sorry, guys. We asked for this about an hour ago. That's it. They're leaving. Where is it? The really old ones are called what?
Snow leopards.
Snow leopard. Okay, explain. That's funny. Explain.
I didn't hear that.
I didn't hear that either. So this is why we're here.
I
want to learn.
I got cougar woman.
You got cougar woman? How did you get cougar woman?
I was Googling and I told you.
Are you over 40?
No.
There you go. Then how could you be a cougar?
I'm a puma. I'm still in my 30s.
Okay, now I want to know what a puma is.
So a puma woman is a term not always described because it's always called a cougar, but it's a puma woman is a woman in her 30s who likes to date or have sexual relations with younger men.
But that's in their 30s.
Okay, so cougars are 50s and up.
I thought it was 40s.
Well, yeah, it's 40s, well, 50s. Pre-cougar. Like pre-entering cougarish.
Listen, I need to know because if somebody comes to me, I need to know how to identify them because not everybody wants to be called the right proper term. So I want to call them the proper term.
And you know how they call sugar babies younger women who like older men?
What do they call them?
In the animal term, they call them kittens.
So what's up with the feline?
I don't know.
Where are they going on feline?
I don't know why it's feline.
I mean, I guess that calling them a female dog, it's yeah, that wouldn't work.
And then women who like older men. So then I would be a panther because I like older men.
You like older men?
Yeah.
You like elder men? Anyone in particular?
Elderly old men. No.
Oh boy, that's funny. All right. Hold that thought. I can't have a commercial, so thank you.
Unless we get paid.
Unless we get paid, which we don't. We're not gonna get paid. We're gonna get sued. That's a whole different story. There you go. So yeah. I mean, that it's very interesting. Rhino?
Yeah, so I was looking at these terms. So then a rhino is an older man, 50 plus, looking for a younger woman.
What the heck is going on? What?
I was like, rhino?
You know, back in my days, when I was a kid, we used to call them Rabo Verde. That's it.
And then, like, and then,
green butt.
And then they went from animal to a fish.
Wait, what the heck?
Isn't a trout a fish?
I think so.
So then,
listen, you're the one with the English as a first language. I don't know.
But I never fished. So I'm like, so I was looking at it up. And then it said trout. And I'm like, what? And then manther, I looked up. So it's manther. You could do manther and trout. It's basically almost the same thing. It's actually older men looking for a younger woman. So the older man is actually not older, but they're in their 30s.
All right. Crystal said, okay, two comments. Okay, I'm going to read both. Crystal said, I heard the old ones are called snow leopards. I think I already read that one.
Yeah.
And two says, my coworker told me that, and I questioned the same thing. Laugh out loud.
So you're saying
she called you a cougar?
A cougar? But we're still in our 30s, Crystal, so you're not a cougar, you're a puma.
So please, that's what I'm saying. They should call you the right term. Do not let them call you anything that you're not, okay?
Tell them, I am not a cougar. Get your definition correct.
Yeah.
I'm a puma, baby.
Okay, fine.
So then in the soccer league, you'll go for pumas?
What? Oh, what?
I had to throw the soccer reference because we're in the soccer dome.
No, wait a minute. I'm just thinking, wait, is that why they call them pumas? Because, I mean, I'm America all the way. But, I mean, that made sense because, you know, they're all females and all, you know, they don't know how to play and all that stuff. Okay, and now I lost my whatever. Okay. He said, no, he was telling me about snow leopards. Ah, okay.
Is it that one Pimp Daddy guy?
Are you going to throw her under the bus literally on the live? Like, hey, is that the guy? Hing, hing.
Being the old women liking the young men, guys.
Oh, so you're the hunter. You're the one going for the prey. I see.
But you're not a snow leopard.
Well, maybe she is. You don't know that.
No, she is a puma because she... Well, I'm not going to throw her under the bus.
See, here you go with your false memories again. Jesus. See, that's what I keep telling you. She does it all the time. That's why I brought the topic. Anyways... What else did we learn about this?
So why do you think cougars like younger men? Is it because younger men last longer?
I'm gonna go ahead and say that because we appreciate the motherly love.
So you're saying you have mommy issues?
I'm not saying I have mommy issues.
So
I'm
the younger
a lot
man
of men
has,
have a lot of mommy
so the,
issues.
So the younger man has mommy issues and wants to go with a cougar.
And I'm not saying that all men have mommy
issues. Allegedly,
yeah, they have family issues. I'm just gonna say that a lot of them believe so. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't have any family mama issues. I just got a little weird out because you know you said that it was me.
I know you don't pray amen, hon.
What?
We got the goods that bring in the younger men.
Okay, let's read it. Let's read the comment. Okay, it's a
no. She said, "Laugh out loud. I don't prey on men, honey. They prey on me."
There you go. Okay, she didn't know the. She didn't do the wow. I believe. I think that the cougars go for the younger men because they last longer. I do believe that. But then again,
and then most of these cougars have like high ass sexual tendencies and energy, man.
That is true. Scientifically speaking, and somebody can correct me.
Like those hormones kicked in.
Yeah, once you hit, I think, 30s, 40s, the sexual hormone kicks in women and it starts declining in men.
What's that one? What's that one that old people drink?
Red Bull?
No.
Viagra?
No, that's old men. Blue pill.
I don't know.
The Metamucil.
What the? Karen thinking it's something sexual. She's like, oh, Metamucil. In case you're constipated, Metamucil. How does that have to do with anything?
Contraceptive. I don't know. I'm thinking about old people.
Contraceptive? You went from a laxative to a contraceptive? What? Okay, you need to get
laxatives.
You need to get one because that's it. You're. I don't know what you're thinking. False memories, guys. False memories with Nelly Baby here. But I think I okay. So the question will be fine. Yeah, they go for younger men because they're you know they could last longer in bed. But Uh-huh. Is it really worth babying somebody, a man that's younger? Because they're going to be...
They actually,
be
I baby.
Do. I'm just saying. They're going to be like babies. Is it worth it?
Yeah, and then also, I think the cougars have a one-up because they get the arm candy. Especially the young ones that are lookers.
I mean... Are they going for the look or are they going for the sexual? I mean, because there could be some guys that look good and they're not good and bad. I'm not saying, I'm just stimulating.
Well, let's hope their mouth is good.
And I was going to say stimulating. I'm just saying speculating. That's it.
But yeah, because like seriously, cougars exist because they want that sexual need, the sexual tendencies. They're very hyperactive and they want somebody to keep up with that energy. And then you got the arm candy of a man.
Of a real man.
But and then the cougars don't want to settle down. So what are these younger kids doing?
Come
on. All they want to do is hit it and quit it. Most of them. Don't take it serious.
Hey, come on. Most of them. Let's look at this in another perspective, okay? And ladies, do you really actually would like a man of a younger man of this generation that they're not, you know... I don't want to offend anybody, but with their pants half their cheek, their butts, you know.
Are they even wearing that anymore?
You know what? That's a good point. I haven't seen a lot of them lately. Okay, so I guess
most now it's skinny jeans and literally like I could see the outline of your junk.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think that it's worth the attention and all that stuff, you know, because I don't know. I mean. A lot of people have said that men nowadays they're not what they used to be, and therefore that's why
it's true. Like most men now don't want a serious committed relationship anymore.
I guess that if you only want it for the sex, I guess it'd be a good idea. But I mean, they're gonna charge you expensive. Like for example, a PS5.
Hey, if you're gonna get yourself a cougar lady, make sure you make her a sugar mama too, because. You know, these new PlayStations are expensive.
See, there you go. Crystal says, OMG, I hate guys that sag their pants. Would a cougar, now that you're a cougar, right? But will a cougar actually go for that?
I don't think so. Cougars usually like to dress their men.
Oh, so not only do you, so you maintain them too.
Yeah. And then what's weird is like, do these little cubs actually kind of like live in the atmosphere of, and the social life of a cougar, like they won't fit in. All these women are 50 plus compared to a 25 year old.
Yeah. Crystal says, nope, guys suck nowadays. No offense. And I'm not going to say my name because nobody needs to know my name. We keep that.
It's Charlie.
In the down low because, you know, there's people looking for me and I own the money. If they think I have for a show, they're going to charge me for money that I don't have. But anyways. I wouldn't do it. Like, if I were a cougar, I probably wouldn't do it. I'd probably get somebody my age, you know, for the stability, you know.
I'm not a cougar.
I'm not a cougar. I am what? A manther.
You're a manther.
I'm a manther. It's okay, Crystal. Don't worry about it. It's all good. No harm done. But somebody did ask me, that's actually one of the questions that my wife actually wants, like, when we get divorced, not if. But when we get divorced, that actually was a red flag for me.
Ooh.
When we get divorced, you're going to date someone else. And I said, no, there's no way. Okay, first of all, I have to go and look for, you know, the right person.
Mm-hmm.
Then school them again. And, you know,
You said woo them again or school them?
No, woo them at this point. Because, you know, I get to know them, take them out on dates, the whole, you know, relationship build up.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's too much work. That's what probably I wouldn't do that. But, you know, I guess that since I will be considered a manther.
Because you're...
I'm 40 now.
You're 40.
So therefore I have to look for somebody else who's under 40. And, you know, the rule is 2 years either before or after. So I guess it will be what? A cougar will go for me or I will go for a younger... Yeah, it's too complicated. See, that's what I wanted to avoid in the beginning. So no, I don't think so.
Don't knock it till you try it.
See, that's why I do the best I can. You know, the secret average idea or mentality where I don't do a lot to say for her to say, hey, listen, man, he's a great catch. Or do not so much where he's like, oh, I'm going to leave this punk because he's not worth it. Just C-grade average work right down the middle. That's what I do. That's the advice I give men.
Mm-mm.
See, there you go. He says, oh, it's all about the woo. A guys need to give really good woo. That's what I'm saying. Listen, I consider myself an old school guy. If I'm going to bring somebody on a date, it's going to be a woo date, right? Pull up, you know, open the door, put her inside the car, talk about her feelings and, you know, her ideas and dreams and all that stuff. And then, like any other man, just once that it's already catch and set, I'm just going to go back to being me.
So,
but the woo was there.
So
the
falsely,
woo was there.
False instincts.
No, it's not a false instinct. It's not
false memory.
No, it's not. I'm going to tell you why it's not a false memory. Because I know for a fact that once a woman gets used to that, they're going to expect it all the time. And it's very hard to maintain that all the time. So therefore, I'm going to slip once or twice. And then they're going to start complaining. And then once they start complaining, I'm going to be like, oh, no, 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 no. We're going to have to lower that bar a little bit lower, a little lower. Eventually, until you get to what? The C grade average level. See, that's...
But what if she woos you all the time? Wouldn't you think that your other significant other would want to be wooed too?
Come on, if I'm a man and I'm getting somebody younger, there is no way she's going to know how to woo me. Because I'm going to be more experienced. I'm going to have more knowledge. I'm going to have different ideas and perspectives. So therefore, we're not going to meet at the same level.
And
so
what if you have somebody that's going to school you?
Then that would be a cougar. And then I'm okay because then at the secret level, she's going to be like,
but
secret
what
average.
But if she's not a cougar, like, and you guys are around the same age?
I mean, that's different. But we're talking about that. We're talking about cougars.
Oh. Well, okay. Like I said, don't knock it till you try it.
Okay, Crystal says... That's the thing. Guys suck at the woo game nowadays. That is true. They do suck at the woo game. And you know who I blame for that? You know who I blame for that? The man. The man.
You are a man.
And rappers. Not rappers. Well, no, yeah. Especially Cardi B. I blame Cardi B. Hey, listen. I'm just saying. Whatever they hear, it's what they think it's the right thing. And that's what they do. And yeah, man. Listen.
Romance is not the way it used to be.
Romance,
or maybe you haven't found, we haven't found the one.
I guess that's a very good topic and we should bring it up the next time. So we should write it down because we're not going to have any more time. We already have 20 minutes in the encore. We don't want to bore the other guys. And we're actually pretty closing on the live too.
Ooh.
Yeah, but I think that's a good topic. Is romance
dead?
What do you guys think? I want to see what you guys think. Is romance dead?
Oh my God.
I don't think it's dead. I just think it's sleeping. I don't think it's dead.
It's in a coma?
It's in a coma. So think about this, okay? Okay, let me put this out there for example, okay? Let me put this out there for example, okay? I am, by heart and by nature, I am a bohemian. I love the bohemian environment. I love listening. Yes, I do. Nobody knows this. Yes, I do. I like it, okay? I like a nice, soothing 80% dead. Okay. Let's just say it's kind of a ventilator, okay? This is a ventilator, okay? It's not that at all.
It's because Fabiola has a cool guy. She's a lucky girl.
Okay.
And let me say, he's a very lucky man.
Okay. Well, hold that thought. Okay, hold that thought. Excuse me. Come here for a minute. Just a little bit.
It had to be Charlie to start wooing a chick.
Of course. Okay. What is your name?
Anaí Dominguez.
We're going to have Anaí Dominguez right now. And I'm going to ask you two questions, okay? All right. I'm going to give you the mic. I'm going to ask you two questions. One, do you think romance is dead?
Sometimes. I have a boyfriend, but I have to give him a nudge every time, like, to do stuff for me.
Yeah, because they forget.
Yeah, they do forget. Like, I think, like, the simplest thing, like, even getting a flower from the floor is, like, very hard for him to do. I'd be like,
and that's the sweetest thing, because it's selfless.
Like, it doesn't have to be buying stuff or anything like that. Like, I really do appreciate, like letters and stuff like that, but he doesn't seem to get it. But he got it last night. He got me flowers.
The letter?
I mean flowers.
Oh. I was thinking, whoa, he got it last night. Way to go.
Oh, no, not like that.
PG, I'm sorry.
But yeah. Yeah, like, he got me flowers last night. And my mom flowers for Mother's Day. So
oh,
really
brownie
nice.
Points there.
Right?
Brownie
right?
points there.
So it was really
you
nice.
You got to woo the suegra.
Yeah. She said that she was like, ya agarré mi hijo. I was like, ay, señora.
All right, second question. I forgot this. Oh, don't worry about your boyfriend. He's not listening to us. So you can be as open as you want. Okay? Second question. Do you think he could be revived?
Yeah, for sure.
How?
We have to train the man.
I don't know.
Oh, see.
I mean, I think it's a matter of just, like, him putting himself in, like, my shoes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like relationships can be just, like, only sex and, like, only going out, but then you want more, like, chivalry stuff and like that. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know how to get it to get alive, but I think it's, like, we're just talking, communication.
That's one.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think that's it, communication. Because I told him that I wanted flowers, so, like, a week later, he got me flowers, you know? Like,
okay. So
okay, see, and that's what I mean. That, thank you very much. You want to stick around for a little longer? You're like, no, I'm gonna go back to work.
Yeah, we got ourselves a model.
Yeah.
Ooh, don't say that. Hey. That Charlie's Bunker didn't get nothing. All
you right? Better follow us too, because you're gonna be on a radio show. Awesome. There you go. She's gonna follow us right now. Okay, so she brought three good things to the table, and that's what I want to ask a person that is not in this circle. Okay, one, she proved to me that C grade average works. That's what happens. It works.
But we have to train them.
I don't care if you... Listen, you can train us all you want. The idea is that C-grade average work works. Number two, you have to work with communication. We don't read minds. And that's one of the things we always say. We do not read minds.
And subliminal messaging.
And three, a lot of false memories. I knew it from the beginning. I knew it.
Like you'll drop a flower and be like, oh my God.
False memories. False. She goes, yeah, false memories, definitely, 100%.
You drop like a hint on, oh, look, that looks like a ring over there.
Where?
Exactly. And then later on, you'll bring it back, and then you think about getting me a ring. There you go.
And see, that's a smart guy, because he's not only winning her over, she's winning the mama over.
He's winning the suegra.
See?
A mother-in-law. And that's when you get the girl from truly from the heart, when you win the mother over.
You don't woo the girlfriend. You woo the mom.
Mm-hmm.
Bam.
See, so don't forget, everybody, tomorrow's Mother's Day. And if you got a girl out there.
Woo the mom.
Woo the mom.
All right, guys. Definitely we're going to touch that topic for the next one. We're going to close tonight. Thank you guys for joining us today. We're going to be here in Chi-Town until a little bit longer. And if you happen to be around the area, come on by. Before we actually close, I'm going to say Fabiola's comment. And Crystal is, it's the simple things us women love.
It is.
Why can't guys realize that? I'm going to tell you why we can't realize that. Because you guys think that the simplest thing is the one that you guys want, and that's okay. That's okay. We're not saying that it's not the simplest things. It's the simplest things.
And the simplest things that you guys want is Xbox.
But that term, simplest things, it's relative. To you guys, the simplest things could be something that is extremely difficult for us, and that's where communication comes in. And that's, I'm going to close it right there. And she's going to come and hunt me down right now, going to shank me. Oh,
the lost one.
All right. Okay. So there you go. She did. You see, false memory. You see, she wasn't at the Canelo fight. She was literally watching.
I didn't say she
time.
Was in the Canelo fight. She was actually throwing a party.
She go ahead and said, "Hey, y'all." All right. She's literally
right
there. She said
she's gonna throw a party at her house, which I don't even know where she lives.
I just proved my point.
And she invited us.
I did say in the beginning, she's probably making this whole thing up. She's probably thinking that she's watching the Canelo fight, and she's just creating this whole crazy idea. And at the end of the day, it wasn't.
You know what? I haven't had alcohol in my system yet to actually support you.
All right, guys. This is all for tonight. We might do this again. I actually had fun interacting with you guys. All right, guys.
And pray for my liver.
And pray for her liver. I'm showing my support. There you go. She brought the topic.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you guys for everything. Until next time.
All right, guys. Don't forget to comment if you are around town, if you're around Pilsen and you live around here. Look, guess what? Charlie and Nelly Baby are around. So come and support and come and join us for a beer and some appetizers.
Oh, you're damn right. The main event hasn't started. We're about to start in a minute.
Heck yeah.
All right, guys. Later. Take care.
Bye, guys. Thanks. Don't forget to share this and go follow and like and listen to Charlie's Bunker on Spotify,
right,
Anchor, and here on Facebook.
All right, guys. Later.